There we go. All right. So, for those of you who were here last week, we started our study on Galatians. But if you weren't, it's okay, because we're going to recap it. Basically, if we're going to summarize it really quick, Paul is writing to these people in Galatia who he has been sharing the gospel with, right? So this is right after Jesus has died, and Paul's like, guys, I've got good news for you. So he's traveling around telling these people, and after he leaves Galatia, these other people come in and they're like, hey, what Paul told you actually wasn't true at all. You still have to follow all these rules and da-da-da-da, which was not true. And so Paul got a little frustrated and he decides to write this letter to these churches. And that's what we've been reading in Galatians. And mostly what Paul is talking about is, hey, these guys are trying to spread what they're calling another gospel, but it's not a real gospel. There's no good news that they're spreading. They're lying to you, and it's not in line with the fact that Jesus died for your sins. And so before we dive into chapter 2, I want to talk a little bit about the gospel that Paul is trying to teach, right? Because we can talk all we want about this false gospel, but I think it's more important that we understand what's the real one, right? What is Paul actually trying to get these people to understand? So what's the actual gospel? So I want you to imagine, you guys have probably heard the story of Adam and Eve, right? God made everybody and the world was beautiful and perfect and we were designed to be in relationship with God forever. But we mess up, right? And you know it as Eve eating the apple. But what it really was an act of disobedience, right? Eve chose to disobey God, just like we choose to disobey God all the time, right? We're constantly choosing the wrong thing. And when we do that, it separates us from God, right? So see these two cliffs? There's like you and God. And what's separating us is sin, right? Because God is perfect, and so we can't be with God hypothetically if we're not perfect, right? Because we keep making mistakes and we cause that separation for God. And so the Old Testament is all these people, right, who cannot be connected to God because they've separated because of sin. And so God says, he makes this promise, right? He's like, I'm going to send someone who's going to make this better, right? But for thousands and thousands of years, that wasn't the case. And so he says, instead, we're going to have you guys sacrifice animals, right? Have you guys ever heard about this, right? They would kill animals and they put them on an altar and they'd say, God, we're so sorry for our sins. This is our payment, right? And so it would cover their sin. But guess what? They would sin again. So then they're back separated. And then they would sacrifice again. And this cycle just kept continuing over and over again. And so it wasn't sustainable, right? Because no sacrifice was good enough to cover everything, right? And so God's like, don't worry, I got you, right? And so he sent, you know who, Jesus, to die. And that built this bridge between us and God and defeated death. And the reason that it worked was because Jesus was both fully man and fully God, right? So he was the only person ever who could literally bridge that connection. And so when he died, he made it so that we don't have that separation anymore. And that's the good news that Paul is trying to bring to these people, right? He's like, listen, this separation that people are telling you exists, it doesn't anymore. And this is why, right? Because this guy, Jesus, came down and was perfect and he was killed for your sin. And like, you can't make a better sacrifice, right? There's nothing you can do, right? All these Old Testament laws that they're being told to obey, he's like, you can't keep doing that because you're going to keep failing. You're going to keep messing up. And God has covered that. And so Paul's pretty frustrated because he's like, this right here is all you need, right? There's nothing else you can fill in that gap, right? You don't need another bridge. So now you can walk and be connected to God. And so that's kind of setting the scene for Galatians 2 and what Paul is trying to talk about. So we're going to be focusing, Paul talks about a lot in Galatians 2, but we're going to be focusing specifically on verses 15 through 21, which I'm going to read for you guys now, and I'll put it up on the screen so you can read along. So it says, we who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because the works of the law no one will be justified. But in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves also among the sinners. Does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, then I really would be a lawbreaker. For though the law I died to, the law so that I might live for Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside grace for God, for righteousness could be gained through nothing. If righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. So, have you guys ever, like, tried to earn someone's approval in your life at any point? Like, you're like, you see someone and they're like really cool and you're like, all right, I'm going to try really, really hard to make them like me, right? Sometimes we feel like that with God. Or sometimes we're like, if I work hard enough to be a good person, to do the right things, then me and God are going to be tight, right? Like, it's going to be great. And I shared a little bit about this when I talked about my testimony, so it might feel repetitive, but I think it's so easy to go to that gospel, that message that, like, if I work hard enough, it'll be good. But Paul is actually actively defying that here with what he is writing about. And so he talks a little bit about being justified, right? And justified is just kind of a fancy word about being made right with God, which basically just means, like, being in good standing, right? Being approved by God, being seen as good. And this gospel that's being preached to these Galatians that's not true is that if you follow all these rules, then God will love you, right? It's a conditional type of love. It's a, oh, if you do all these things, then maybe you and God can, like, be tight. Paul's like, you guys aren't perfect. It's not following rules. It's Jesus that saves you. And we talked a little bit last week about how this can kind of be counterintuitive to, like, what the world tells us, right? Because we're constantly trying to achieve in the world. We're trying to earn things. And so it can almost feel wrong to accept something that we didn't do anything to earn, right? Like, it just doesn't make sense. And it kind of, like, wounds our pride. Because we're like, I want to think I have some part in saving myself, right? I want to think that if I work really hard, then we can do that. And Paul's like, no, it's actually not about you. He says it's all about Christ. The gospel is so little about you, and it's so much more about how much Christ loves you, right? If you believe in Jesus, your old self, your guilt and your shame, and all these needs to perform, they're dead, right? Like, Paul, he uses the word works for a lot of these things. But what he's saying is, like, this gospel of works, this gospel of doing the right thing, it doesn't exist. It's not even a real gospel because it's not good news. There's no good in, like, you having to strive for the rest of your life to hope that God will love you. The good news is he already does, right? Christ already lives in you. And this is pretty radical at the time. You might have heard it before. You might be like, yeah, someone told me Christ lived in me. This was a new thing to these people, right? They had gone generations and generations and generations of being separate from God. And now God lives in them. And so you don't need to perform, right? Sometimes we think of it as, like, sports. Like, it's like, oh, if I can earn points with God by doing certain things. But Paul actually says in verse 20, he says, I've been crucified with Christ, and no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so you're not alone. That's the other comfort Paul's giving you. He's like, not only do you not have to strive, but you're also not doing life alone anymore, right? God is literally, like, in your spirit. He's with you wherever you go. And don't ignore that, right? This is a message of grace. You probably heard the word grace thrown around a lot. It's beyond our comprehension, God's grace, because he looked at us and he saw everything you were ever going to do. He even saw you actively rejecting him, right? We've all had a point in our lives where we sinned or we did something and we were like, God, I don't need you. And God was like, well, I want you. Anyway, he's like, you don't have to want me back, but I'm going to be here with open arms. And so don't forget that grace. Paul is pleading with these people. In verse 21, he says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Right? So he's like, if the whole gospel was, if you're a good person, Christ will love you, then why did he die? Right? There's no point in that. There's no point in the cross if it doesn't mean anything for your life. And so God loves you even when you don't deserve it. Right? You don't need to perform. You are loved, you're forgiven, and you're filled with Christ. Like, he went the extra step further. He doesn't only love you, but he gives you all the goodness that he has to provide for you. He gives you peace. He gives you strength, right? There's so many promises in the Bible we love to look to, right? We have, like, Jeremiah 29:11, know the plans I have for you, right? There's all these verses that we like to quote. But the reality is, like, Christ lives in us. And we walk around as living vessels of him because of what he did on the cross. So I have to beg the question, do you walk around believing that you are loved by God? Because it's not really a question. It's not like, are you loved by God? Are you not? You are. But do you believe that? Right? Do you know truly? And you're like, I've heard that God loves me so many times. Yeah, you probably have. But do you believe it? Because I've heard it a million times, and I've acted a million times in one that I don't believe it. I've acted like God doesn't love me. I've acted like I had to earn it. I've still strived for these things. And God is trying to take that burden from you. He's trying to say, you don't need to strive. You don't need to earn my love. I've already done it. And so I have this question for you guys to reflect on. And I have some paper over here if you want to journal about it, or you can get into small groups and talk about it. But what does it mean to you, given like what we're talking about and what you know about the character of God, what does it mean to you that Christ lives in you? And how might that change the way that you see yourself or live your life this week? So I'm just going to give you guys some time to think about that, discuss about that. And yeah.